ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Let's go to page 82. Let's go to 153. Well, how do you know what the story is about when you're jumping all over the place? And that's why we go verse by verse. One writer said, biblical preaching's authenticity is significantly tarnished by contemporary communicators who are more concerned with personal relevance than with God's revelation. Scripture unmistakably requires a proclamation focused on God's will and mankind's obligation to obey. With men wholly committed to God's word, the expository pattern commends itself as preaching that is true to the Bible. Expositions presupposes an exegetical process to extract the God-intended meaning of Scripture and an explanation of that meaning in a contemporary way. The biblical essence and apostolic spirit of expository preaching needs to be recaptured in the training and preaching of men who are freshly committed to preaching the Word. Yeah. But again, we're moving away from that. You know, and again, you know, we saw it with the emerging church. You don't hear a whole lot about it today because there's new things coming down the pike that are just more of an entertaining or meeting the feelings of people instead of teaching them the Word of God. You know, Paul said to the Colossian church back in Colossians 2, 8 through 10, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. When we start moving away from God's word, we're cheating the people. We're ripping them off, right? With what? Philosophy, empty deceit, the traditions of men, the basic principles of the world. Yeah. Don't be carried away by these things. And please understand, I'm not saying our experiences are wrong, because that's how we live out our life, right? We all have experiences in life. But when our experiences are contrary to the Word of God, then what we're doing is wrong, or what we're trying to say our experience is all about is wrong. I'll give you an example. You know, there's been a couple of people who have died and gone to heaven. A young boy that had surgery, supposedly his dad was a pastor, supposedly he died and went to heaven. But the problem was he never died on the operating table. He never died. His heart never stopped. And when he went to heaven, there was Jesus, and Jesus was helping him with his homework. I'm really sorry, but when I go to heaven, I hope there's no homework. I don't think there's going to be. I would hate to see my teachers from grade school up there with their big red pens ready to mark my paper. That would be horrible. So a lot of his ideas were not biblical. And yet, that was a bestseller. Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He said, I can't even tell you what I saw. Words can't even explain it. You see, don't be ripped off by these things. Were they sincere about this? I absolutely believe they were sincere. But then there comes a point where you see, hey, something's wrong here. Something's not right. And being the parent, you have to help your child through that. One writer said, the visible church in our generation has become astonishingly tolerant of aberrant teaching and outlandish ideas, and frighteningly intolerant of sound teaching. Yeah, they don't like that. You know, we see it with accepting homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, immoral lifestyles, and so much more. And yet, when it comes to gathering together and learning from the Bible, oh, you guys are just intolerant and hateful and unloving. And what the world has done, and they're very good at this, is they got us to believe that. And that's why Christians are kind of thinking and going, well, maybe I should change my mind about this. Let me tell you this. If you love someone, you will tell them the truth. If you don't love them, you will tell them whatever will make them feel better. But that doesn't show them love. You see? How do we know what's right or wrong? Oh, I just go by the way I feel. Forget about it. I've done that. It doesn't work. I mean, you guys know the story when we were driving to Chicago and we were heading south and we stopped for some food. No big deal. And then we got back on, you know, we're by Milwaukee already, and we got back on the interstate and we're traveling, and Julie goes, Joe, we already passed Milwaukee. The sign says we're coming towards Milwaukee. Like, no, we're going the right way. She goes, how do you know you're going the right way? Okay, this is a great answer. Totally wrong, but it's really a good answer. I said, hun, they're going north, which means we're going south. Isn't that true? But it was wrong. You see, I went by my feelings, and I was totally wrong. You know, you could see me as a truck driver. Oh, my gosh, it would take me twice as long because I'd be all over the states here in America. Who knows? Maybe even who knows where I would go. We have to trust what God has said in his word. Again, one writer put it like this. He said, secularism cannot be blamed on the secularists, many of whom were raised in the church. We are the problem. If most churchgoers cannot tell us anything specific about the God they consider meaningful or explain basic doctrines of creation in God's image, original sin, the atonement, justification, sanctification, the means of grace, or the hope of glory, then the blame can hardly be placed at the feet of secular humanists. Yeah, we've become biblically illiterate today, and it's opened the doors for all kinds of false teaching to come in. I'll share this story with you. You'll get the idea. There was a candidate for church membership and was asked a very simple question. What part of the Bible do you like the best? A simple question. He said, I like the New Testament best. Then he was asked, what book in the New Testament is your favorite? And he said, the book of the parables, sir. Don't go looking for that book, okay? Then they asked him to relate one of the parables to the membership committee. And this is what he said. Very interesting. Once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And the thorns grew up and choked the man. And he went on and met the Queen of Sheba. And she gave that man, sir, 1,000 talents of silver and 100 changes of raiment. And he got in his chariot and drove furiously. And as he was driving along under a big tree, his hair got caught up in a limb and left him hanging there. Incredible. And he hung there many days and many nights. Well, the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he fell on the stony ground. And it began to rain. Oh, you know, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave. Later, he went on and met a man who said, come in and take supper with me. But he said, I can't come in, for I have married a wife. And the man went out into the highways and hedges and compelled him to come in. He then came to Jerusalem and saw the queen Jezebel sitting high and lifted up in a window of the wall. And when she saw him, she laughed and said, and he said, throw her down out of there. And they threw her down. And he said, throw her down again. And they threw her down 70 times 7. And the fragments which they picked up filled 12 baskets full. Now whose wife will she be in the day of judgment? Sorry. I would love to give an answer like that to a committee, but the membership committee agreed that this man was a knowledgeable candidate. Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny, but not funny. But, you know, think about this. How many of us think in the Bible it says God helps those that help themselves? It doesn't. If it does, you got the wrong Bible. Sorry. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones said, if we go astray in our doctrine, eventually our life will go astray as well. Yeah, there's the problem. You cannot separate what a man believes from what he is. For this reason, doctrine is vitally important. Certain people say ignorantly, I do not believe in doctrine, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and nothing else matters. To speak in that way is to court disaster. And for this reason, the New Testament itself warns us against this very danger. We are to guard ourselves against being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. For if your doctrine goes astray, your life will soon suffer as well. So it behooves us to study the doctrines in order that we may safeguard ourselves against certain erroneous and heretical teachings that are as rife and as common in the world today as they were in the days of the early church. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, he also said, or Wayne Grudem, excuse me, said, I'm convinced that there is an urgent need in the church today for a much greater understanding of Christian doctrine or systematic theology. Not only pastors and teachers need to understand theology in greater depth, the whole church does as well. One day, by God's grace, we may have churches full of Christians who can discuss and apply and live the doctrinal teachings of the Bible as readily as they can discuss the details of their own jobs or hobbies, or the fortunes of their favorite sports teams or television program. Yeah. You know, a while back, Max had said, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays on the radio station, could we do our Foundation of Faith series? And I thought about it, and we both felt, you know, yeah, these are important studies to get back to the basics of our faith, because people are being tossed to and fro with these winds of doctrine. What do we believe? What about God the Father? What about God the Son? What about God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity? What about the gifts of the Spirit? What about the Bible? And on. And so we got those airing on Saturdays and Sundays. And we also have them on our webpage. They're all there for people to listen to or read the notes. And you see, we need to read the scriptures. We need to understand what the text is saying. And we need to apply those to our lives. Those are all important. You know, the first study I ever gave here at Calvary Chapel, because I believe that's what God put upon my heart for this church, was Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayer, preaching God's word. Spurgeon said, sound teaching is the best protection from the heresies which ravage right and left among us. He lived over 130 years ago. He saw the problems going on in his day. Look at where we're at today. You know, as the Word of God is taught and we're open up to the Spirit of God, we learn the things of God. And then we have the option to apply them to our lives. Do we want to listen to what God is saying to us, or do we want to ignore it? Oh, that's for someone else. Or I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. My feeling's always been is, hey, you guys are here. We all need to hear that, right? I think it's so important for the Word of God to be taught, so we can know how to live out our faith. I think God has preserved his word for us for that very reason. How do you know who God is? How do you know Jesus died for your sins? How do you know he's the only way of salvation? Oh, I write it in a book? No, I write it in God's word. The book, yeah. I write it in the book. Exactly. There was a man who went to see his doctor for advice about being cured for snoring. And the doctor asked, does your snoring disturb your wife? And he said, does it disturb my wife? It disturbs the whole entire congregation. Okay, I'll just leave that one alone. You know, hey, I think God's word is so exciting. And it just, the more you read it, God shows you different things all the time so that we can grow by. I don't think we're doing anything special or different here than they were doing in the early church. They were just teaching the Word of God. They were just fellowshipping together. They were building people up in the faith. And so expository preaching, so important. And the last point that we're going to finish up on is press on. Verses 14 through 16 here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may progress that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Paul's telling Timothy, do not ignore or lay aside or bury the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. And that's a great lesson for us. You know, it seems that the elders in Timothy's home church, the elders in Lystra and Derbe, prophesied, laid hands on Timothy before they sent him out with Paul on his missionary journey. And to negate God's call on his life that was confirmed by prophetic utterances would be wrong. And then Paul speaks of meditation. Now, for some Christians today, that word meditation, oh, that's evil. Oh, you know, that's all New Age and Eastern meditation stuff. No, that type of meditation is emptying your mind. I can't afford to do that. There's enough missing already. No, when you meditate on the things of God, you fill your mind with the things of God. You don't empty yourself, you fill yourself. And that's what Paul wants Timothy to do. Fill your mind with the Word of God so that the Spirit of God can guide you and direct you and encourage you, and on we can go. You know, we know so much about music and movie stars and sports and all that stuff, but do we know the things of God? That's what's really important. You know, Paul, talking about just giving our lives to the Lord in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. In other words, you need to place your entire life on the altar of sacrifice. You need to give it to God and let God use your life as he wants to use it. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I know what the will of God is? Well, I'm filling my mind with the things of God, with his word, so he can direct me and guide me in what I need to do. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. It's a gift of God, but there's work on our part. We must labor and grow. And one of the studies I'm working on is, you know, God does his part, right? But then we're responsible for doing our part. You know, remember when Peter was in prison, right? He was in jail, and he was sleeping. He was probably going to be executed, but he's sleeping, resting. And the doors open up. He wakes up. He had to get his coat on, and he had to leave. And what did the angel say? Come on, we got to go. God did his part. God opened all the doors for him to get out. What was Peter's responsibility? To walk. Many times that's our responsibility. We have to walk by faith. You know, look at where God is leading you, and then take those steps. And when Paul here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about saving yourself and those who hear you, I don't think he's speaking about salvation of your soul here, because that's not the context of this chapter. And remember, I've always told you, context, context, context. Don't change something because you think, okay, that's what it's saying. No, what's the context here? And I think he's speaking of the false doctrine and not only Timothy falling prey to it and being in bondage to it because he's not in the Word, but leading others down that same path. You know, Timothy, save your soul and the souls of others from these false doctrines that are blowing through the church. And the way to do that, Timothy, is by taking in and teaching the Word of God, because the truth will set you free from the lies that are out there. It's as simple as that. You won't be swayed. And what God said in Amos, I see happening today. In Amos 8, verses 11 and 12, we're told, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. You know, Jan McCarl, Jan... Now I forgot. Markel, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was one of those connections that was loose, but now we got it back fixed. It's working. She has talked about that, that people are constantly sending her letters saying, we have no churches that teach through the Word of God. You go, how can that be? What's going on in the churches if the Word of God is not being taught? How sad. And there's a famine here in America for the teaching of God's Word, and that's why some of these churches can believe in the most immoral sins that are out there and say that they're right. I'll tell you, our God is so gracious and merciful. He says, if you will seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. And I know for certain that if people are searching for God, he will reveal himself to them. May we be lights in this world that they may see God. And you go, well, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. He absolutely is. And I used to talk about, well, we are kind of like the moon. We're just reflecting light. I don't think that's true. I think we're the light. What do I mean by that? Remember what Paul said in Corinthians, that we're the temple of God. Who dwelt in the temple of God in the Holy of Holies? God did. Does the Bible say God indwells us? So the light they're seeing is Jesus in us. And I think that's why John said, Lord, less of me, more of you. Get that flesh out of the way. Get those curtains removed. Let them see you in me. And that's what we pray for. So this morning, we've seen these 3 points. Don't be swayed. Don't move from the course that God has for your life. Stay true to his word. Don't let the world influence your life. Let the word of God, opened up by the Spirit of God, guide you in all that you do and say. Very simple. Expository preaching. And again, this is simple. Read the word of God, explain the word of God, and apply the word of God to your life. And then press on. And we need to be encouraged here because there are so many that are coming against what we believe, right? And they want us to compromise our faith and become more like the world. Don't. Press on. Be transformed. You know, they can't stop our witness. They can't. Remember John Bunyan. John Bunyan, great preacher. And they arrested him. And he would go out into the yard, and there would be the big fence there, and people, thousands would come to hear him preach, which made the guards furious. So you know where they put him? In the deepest part of the prison where no one could hear him any longer. And you know what happened down there? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress that is still touching lives today. You can't silence God's people. We need to remember that. Oh, what if they take this freedom away and that freedom away? They can't take Jesus away, I know that. So it doesn't really matter. Whatever the Lord has in store, we need to be that shining example of him to a world that's in darkness. And I don't care what people in the world say today. They are hurting. They are hopeless. They are trying to fill the void in their life with all kinds of evil. And it's still not working. Because what Satan offers them is death and destruction. Oh, it brings pleasure for a short time, but in the end, it's going to destroy them. What we have is life, and not just life, not just existence, but abundant life that we could share with people. We need to press on. And I'll close with this about speaking about pressing on, what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. He said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Absolutely, guys. We need to continue to press on. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word. And we are so thankful that as we read and study your word, that you open it up to our hearts and our lives, that you help us to understand what we need to learn. Each and every day, we're in your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. And we just pray, help us to shine brightly for you. Less of us, more of you in our lives, Lord. The things we do, the things we say, so that we can minister to the people that are walking in darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.